Welcome to Beyond the Frontline Podcast, where your hosts, U.S. Air Force veterans, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson, will help you transition from the front line to the home front. Listen every other Wednesday, as they will bring great conversations, resources, tips, and feel-good stories that will resonate and relate. Now, here's your hosts, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Beyond the Frontline. And it is me, good old Donna Hoffmeyer, and I am here with who I call every single time, my brother from another mother, friend, mentor on occasion, and venting partner sometimes, Jay Johnson.
You didn't refer to me as the thorn in your side, or, you know, the angst to your being, or...
You know, do you know what I did not... I'm going to tell you, I almost brought something here, and I'm going to bring it for the next podcast.
Oh,
I was in such a rush today, running from meeting to meeting, I didn't have a chance. But I have, on the next podcast, I'm going to bring it, I have a shirt that says Queen on it.
Oh, let's just see. To our listeners, you know that this has been going on for a while. Somebody, oh, what do you mean I started it? Somebody, oh, well, shame on me. See what I have to live with. But listen, Don, it's fun. I know we have this, you know, banner. To our listeners, if you've tuned in and listened to any of our prior episodes, Don and I are dear friends. We love getting in this space with all of you. We always step in with a little fun banner, and we always step in with just kind of a, hey, what's going on in your world kind of thing. So it's good to be here, Donna, as always. What's happening with you and Familia?
Familia, my son is finally getting motivated. I was telling you this before the podcast. So my son does track and field, right?
Yeah, teenager.
He is 15, yep. Yeah. And up until junior high, you know, he did track and field. And you could always tell, you know, he didn't clear the hurdle or the high jump, or he didn't jump far enough, and he never really made it. And then he was dealing with an injury or sickness or something like that, right? So he never made it onto the higher level stuff. Yeah. And he would get bummed out. And we kept telling him, like, okay, that's fine, but you got to do more. You got to practice. So he got into a private jumping course. And
he got a coach.
Yep. We have a coach for him, and he does that once a week. Well, anyway, it's all paying off. So he started track and field, had his first meet, and he jumped for the junior varsity team, and he won second place.
That's
and
amazing.
Then the team itself won first. And this morning I come downstairs and I said, hey, what are you up to? And he's staring, what I thought was staring off in space. And I look again and he's looking at his phone. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm watching jump videos.
Oh,
and it's like, oh my God.
Of all the things
that motivation?
Of all the things a teenage boy could be engaged in, that ought to do mom proud, right? He's out there looking.
It does do mom proud.
There's a few things you mentioned in there that tie to what we're gonna do today. Not jumping ahead, because I got some things to share.
Key in on the word coaching. He hired a coach.
Well, not just that. I like that. Our guest today is a coach. There's
yes.
one tie-in. I hear resilience in
yes.
what he's doing. Perseverance. That's a tie-in.
Motivation.
Right? The other one was our guest has a 15-year-old son. I just saw her post that on her social media. I think
so she can relate to me.
She can relate to where you're at. And then the other thing I was going to say, I mean, he shouldn't have any problem jumping. He's like 7'6".
He's not. He's only 5'7", but this is no joke. He has a 36-inch vert without taking a step.
That's
can
amazing.
Jump onto our kitchen cabinets just leaping up in one jump.
I think I can jump 3.6.
3.6.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I say he's tall, it's because of his age. Your husband, Brian, is tall.
He's tall.
I'm an Oompa Loompa, right? So I view anyone that young an age that's already my height, which he is. He's tall.
And he's almost a size 12 shoe. So
he's going to be
massive.
I'm glad I don't have to worry about buying those shoes.
Well, and feeding those shoes. Let me tell you,
yeah.
All I do is see the back of him because his head's in the refrigerator all day.
That's amazing.
Real
quick. No, things are good. Really busy. And it's been a really productive week, but I'm really geared up. I'm heading to Virginia to speak in a week
That's
and
right.
a half. Looking forward to that. I've got delivering a speech in Oklahoma City mid-April. And anyways, just there's a lot of things going on local, but those things excite me because I love getting out and communicating with big groups. And so
you got to know Jay's side hustle. It's not really a side hustle, but it's what he helps out in all the time.
Yeah.
Barbecue.
Yeah. Tonight and tomorrow, big barbecue competitions. I help run the judging tent and the advantage, everybody, as we get ready to introduce our guests, the advantage to doing this is I get to sample a lot of Texas barbecue.
I get to eat barbecue all the time.
And a couple of the events, by the way, it's not just food, everybody. There's a margarita competition and there's a Bloody Mary competition. So
I was very, Delisa, if you're listening, I am very bummed out that I did not get to be a judge on either margarita or the Bloody Mary one.
Yeah, yeah. Just show up. That's how, look. It's more than just five people can do, so I usually have to go out into the crowd and find judges. So you and Brian should show up, because we usually need about 10 people, probably.
Oh, my Lord. Well, I'll volunteer for that.
Okay. Well, there we go. Look, this is exciting today, right?
I'm very happy to have this guest.
Me too.
So we can relate. 100%.
100%.
Both moms, both military careers, and both dependent wives.
Yeah.
And she has a little bit more on me. Well, we're both podcasters too. We'll put that out there.
That's true.
She has a little bit more. Her story is a little bit more than mine, but.
No, a lot of related.
But a lot of relatable it's stuff. It's true. So
no, I like it. Cool. Yeah,
she's
really.
Become my bestie.
I like that. I like that a lot. Look, to our guests, let me say that. I want to introduce our guest and just say quick hello, and then I'll tell you a little bit about her. Please welcome Tammy Marie. Can I say that, Tammy? Do I get to use your middle name since that's in the business name?
Sure, why not?
Tammy Imlay is how I have always known you, right? Is that
right?
Okay. And Tammy and I have only met in person a few times. We talked on the phone recently and we kind of briefly discussed that. I had the pleasure of serving as the Commandant of Cadets at Auburn University in the early
2000s. Eagle?
Yes, War Eagle. Got to get the War Eagle in. It was one of the very first things they made me do, Tammy. When I showed up at Auburn on staff faculty, they had me stand in front of all the cadets, and I had to lead the War Eagle dismissal chant, if you will.
You had to sing?
No, I don't sing. That would have scared everybody away, and I'd have probably been out of a job. But Tammy, it's good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for this opportunity. I've been looking forward to this since you invited me.
Yeah, we're excited. This is another one that's going to kind of capstone, if you will, our series on resiliency. Yep. We've got a wrap up you and I will do, but Tammy's our last guest.
She is.
For the resilience series. And let me just, Tammy, briefly before I ask you to share, let me just give our listeners an idea of who you are. Tammy owns and operates a business called Tammy Marie Coaching. That's right?
That's right.
And she is a certified neuro coach. A certified master Enneagram coach. She is the host of her Restored Spirit podcast. I encourage all of you to get out there and listen to that. In the summary that is already posted out there with this podcast, listeners, you can go look at it, and all of Tammy's links to her business, her social sites, and her podcast are out there. We really want you to connect with her. I've already told you that her undergraduate work anyways was at Auburn University. She is an Air Force veteran, a proud communications officer, her time in uniform, the mother of two amazing children. So please join us, everybody, as we welcome Tammy to the podcast. Tammy, it's so good to have you with us. It's good to see your smiling face. It was good talking with you on the phone about a week ago as we were kind of lining up for this. What's going on, maybe, Tammy? We're going to do this a little different. What's going on with you? What are happenings right now in your business world that maybe you want to share before we ask you to share your story?
Well, in my business world, I just crossed over 2 years of my podcast, which is a huge thing for me, just because when I first started, I always talk. I'm a talker, but it's like, what do I have to say for, week after week? So I'm really excited about that. And I have a group program that I absolutely adore and just help women discover who they are. We go through so many hard things in life. Okay. And even motherhood, where we lose our sense of identity, we lose our sense of desire to do things that we love to do. And we find ourselves like managing our lives versus, being excited and living our life. And so that's, in my business, that's what I get to do every day. And now I'm just excited that I have a new bestie to catch up with.
For the listeners, if you're just joining in and you missed the beginning, she was not referring to me. She's talking about my amazing co-host, Donna, who referred to her that way.
I mean, you're all right as well. I mean, we're
Eagle. Thanks. Yeah.
I'm the bestie.
Yeah, you're the queen. Yeah, Tammy, that's amazing. 2 years is we on this podcast just crossed a year threshold, and we're releasing every 2 weeks. How often do you release?
Every Monday.
Unbelievable. Woo! That's a lot of content.
That is a lot of content. Yeah. We certainly
a lot of fun.
Can't get together enough to do it every week as much as we maybe would like to, but yeah, no. Yeah.
Well, Tammy, that's amazing. So, Tammy, you know, we teed up at the beginning. We told our listeners, you know, that we really wanted to speak with you. I've seen you, watched you. I know your story. I would love if you would just, you know, when we're talking about resilience, when you're talking about identity, when you're talking about all the different things that you just referenced that, you know, you've gone through, share, if you will, whatever you're comfortable with, some of your story with our listeners, just to kind of set the stage.
Absolutely. And I think some of the story, as we were recapping before we started, you mentioned a little bit of it. And I'm like, I think there's a little more than you even realize. So as well as being an Air Force veteran and an Air Force spouse, I'm also an Air Force brat. So I grew up in the Air Force. And that's actually my husband and I, we met at Lake Neath, England in ninth grade. And because our dads were in the same squadron together. And so we have... 1994. Like it's crazy because my son now is at the age where I met him, where I met my husband. It was, and I'm like, okay, so who are you hanging out with? What's going on? But so, yeah, we got to know each other in high school, became best friends and just lived the military life. So my whole life is moving every 3 years. It has been meeting new people, spending a lot of time with just my family as we go from base to base. And when you talk about resiliency, growing up, I never really thought that that's what I was building. It never really crossed my mind. I was doing what I needed to do. I was making the best out of everything. I really, the way I view life, and as you hear my story, you'll see that it's the same throughout. And I didn't even realize it is. I don't really believe in regrets. I believe that everything you go through, you learn. And even if things start over, you're not really starting over because you have more information. Also, like you did what you thought was best at the time, or you did what you did. And regretting just steals your joy from the future. And so as I go and as I lived and I'm, you know, I went from graduated high school in England and I went to Baylor first, Sikkim Bears. And then I transferred to Auburn. And when I transferred to Auburn, my high school sweetheart came with me. He was living in California at the time. And we decided, which is another interesting fact, is I had joined ROTC as soon as I got to Auburn or to Baylor. I went in there and I went into a big room and I did not fit in with anyone. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is I haven't gone to school in America. I don't know anybody here. And I saw the men in blue and I was like, oh, I know them. I can talk to them. And so
it's a point of reference, right?
Yeah. Right. Like I can go. Yeah. When someone asked me where I graduated, I was like, oh, London. And they asked me if that was north of the Rio Grande. I was like, what? Like, okay. So it was like, okay, talk to the men in blue. And I ended up, joining the ROTC right there. Like it was just ordained. That was it. And at the time, boyfriend was in California playing baseball and living his dream and had nothing to do with the Air Force. And he was shocked actually that I was going to join. And so was I, as well as my parents. And then, you know, things happen and I moved to Auburn. And I get there about a semester before my boyfriend, before D, and he sat in the detachment while I went to leadership lab. And what do you think happened when you sit in the detachment and you're already comfortable around the military? They're like, hey, if you come here, we'll give you a full ride right now. You want a pilot slot? We can get you that too. Yep. And so he's like, well, why not? And so he transferred to Auburn. And so I actually am the one who recruited him. I'm the one who got him into the Air Force.
That's awesome.
They outranked him, by the way.
Tammy, you're 100% correct in the way you set this up. I did not know any of that. I didn't know any of that story. Yeah. I love every bit of that.
Yes. It's just one of those.
Oh, I've always said that. It's true. And even
so,
that's right.
So we joined the military. I went communications, and D at the time, he became a Strike Eagle pilot. He actually was his first assignment. He got to be instructor pilot, and because he was just an amazing mentor. He is one of those guys that when you first meet him, you're kind of standoffish. He's very stoic, very serious. However, once you get to know him, you realize that there's very few serious bones in his body. And so we, you know, joined the Air Force and dual military. You know how difficult that is. We were first stationed. I was in South Carolina. He was in Texas. And I was able to get to Texas while he was an instructor. And so we can link up. And we had a great life. He was flying, which he loved. I got to do communications, which I loved. And then it was time to start a family. And so you can't really ask a pilot who has a 12-year commitment to get out. So I got out of the military so I can raise a family. Being communications and a pilot, we would never see each other if we were both in the military.
It's a hard, hard road. My husband and I did our last 5 years with kids in the military. Wow. He retired early. I mean, he made retirement, but sure. He had three more. He goes, I have 3 years left, you know, more gas to give. And I said, I understand it. And I can't ask you to do anything you don't want to do. I'm just telling you that your last deployment, they cried every night. And then I would just cry in the bathroom later because they were so sad, you know? And so he did, he gave it up, you know?
And that was the agreement with the two of us as well. That's one of those, it's like, you know, we could make this work, but what would we have to give up? And we were not willing to give up our family. So I just had my son, Isaac, who turns 15 today. Yeah. So I told him at 15 and I'm like, okay, if this is the year for motivation, I am so excited and I'm here for it. So I hope that he gets it.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And right. So I got out of the military and I got to be a military spouse and I got to be a Strike Eagle wife. And the culture, the community is amazing. We moved to Idaho after he got qualified and at the time we had two kids, a 2 and 4 year old, and he went on his first deployment. Now, I had deployed before, before kids. And so we kind of knew what to expect-ish. You know, we knew what was going to happen. I knew there was times that I wouldn't be able to talk to him. We knew, you know, all the things. I deployed before cell phones were a big thing, really. Like, and there was no smartphones at the time. So, you know, we had Air Force IM, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And so he deployed. And 2 weeks after he left for the deployment, I got a knock on the door. And I had just come back from a kid's birthday party and was trying to get my kids. And you know, that window where if you don't get them down for a nap, like they're not going to sleep tonight either.
Right.
And while I was, you know, who is knocking on my door? Who comes to people's houses anymore unannounced? And I opened the door and I saw the three men in the service uniforms. And I immediately knew what had happened, that my husband was killed in action. And at the point, I had a 2 and 4 year old. And the thing that crossed my mind is, what am I going to do now? Like, are you kidding me? And why? Why is this all happening? And not audibly, but I felt as I was sitting on the ground with three men who I had seen briefly before, but didn't know any of them. I realized that, like, again, not audibly, but I felt God telling me, like, this is going to be hard, understatement, like complete, utter understatement, but it's not going to ruin you. And I'm going to use this for good. And I spent the next couple of weeks trying to figure out the things. Like, luckily I had an amazing community who supported me, who supported my kids and got us to where we needed to go and did what we needed to do. And that's where, like, through that time frame, I had a lot of time to really just stop and pray and figure out, okay, like this is it. And the one thing that kept coming to mind when I would be like, why? And then why me? And I kept hearing the question, why not you? And if not you, then who? And it goes through this is not just for you. This is much bigger than you. And I felt that because the who Dee was is, again, like, he would be the one who would, you would think he's totally upset. But then when you left at the end of the day, he would stay back because he knew that you had something else that you had to finish, and he would finish it. So that way you didn't have to come in early the next morning. He would make sure that everyone, all of his people, were taken care of. And just, I knew that there was more to it than just my loss. I knew that our entire squadron felt the loss, and honestly, the Air Force community as a whole, just from people reaching out and just the support that we got. I still get people who message me and tell me the impact that he made on their lives and how things that they've done is because he encouraged them to do something, push past their comfort zone. And that same thought is like, okay, how can I help? How can I show women, and to see that your circumstances, well, they're hard. They're there. You're going to go through life. I mean, we were never promised an easy life, but what we were promised is that we can use it for good. We can get through it, and we have support. We have family, friends, and people who we've never even met before who we can depend on. And honestly, the resiliency comes from that. It comes from the looking at the support and saying that this is not going to define who I am. I'll allow it to shape me, because what I have learned through my grief journey, I would not give it up for anything. If I had to do it again, whew, that would be rough. However, the things that I've learned about human nature, about love, about compassion, and about grace is something that I would not have learned if I didn't walk this walk, if I didn't have a 2 and 4 year old. To take care of.
Do you think, Tammy, and I say this because you've been on both sides of the fence. I've been on both sides of the fence. So I had a military career, and I was a dependent, you know, also I was a spouse. And I remember when my kids were struggling, and it was very hard, and they were, you know, holding daddy's picture every night, and we would have it on the back of the seat when I would drive them to school, and, you know, all that stuff. And Bianca was more following Brady because Brady was older. He was 6 and Bianca was like 3, you know, so she was more mimicking him. And so but, you know, I'm sure she still missed daddy. But as a military spouse, and military member, because I was still in the service, I felt that I had a different insight where I couldn't ask my husband, I need you to retire, because the military side of me was like, I know I need to close my own book. And I think everybody, the best way to go out of the military is choosing your path, right? When all this happened to you, do you feel like it helped you to have a military insight to have, as opposed to a spouse? You know, I've worked with a lot of people before and spouses in my previous job in the military. And it's interesting to see the spouses that were not connected in any way to the military. They were just the spouse over here, and they did their thing, which was exceptionally true for like Guard and reservists. You know, there was less of an attachment. How did you feel like your military background helped you, hindered you?
So I think that I was born on a military installation. Like, so pretty much my entire life has been shaped in some form in the military. You know, having a dad who's a lieutenant colonel and leading, and where, you know, there's times that his people came before the family because he had a job to do. And so I've no doubt, because of the military, growing up in the military, I had opportunities to be independent way earlier than most people had. I was joking with a friend the other day about the fact that I went on my first solo trip when I was 10 years old. When I had a 10-year-old, I questioned my dad's. I was like, Dad, what, like, you're parenting. Like, we need to talk about this. Like, there's no way. He's like, well, you had it planned out. You knew who you were going to go with. You knew who you were going to stay with. And so I do think that having that, and that the grit of, no, figure it out. Like, you can, you want something, figure it out. And I think the military did allow that. Also, being an Air Force officer, I actually had the opportunity, the privilege of helping that team that goes and knocks on the door. There's humbly, I helped them prepare one time, you know, and I did not go to the door, but I was doing the uniform check, making sure they had all the information. I was, you know, praying with them before, because they were going to deliver the news. And it's such a, it's in military grief, it's such an interesting thing, because there's such a level of pride as well as that grief, something you cannot experience if you're not military or firefighter or police. And so there's that, that's a dual, it's a dual thing, because you know that it was for a good cause. You know that it was service before self. And I do believe that that mentality shaped my decisions and shaped, because I knew that I figure things out. It also allowed me to kick into that logical side and get the things done that I needed to get done, and then deal with the emotions later. Let's just face it. There was many times that that is what got me through.
Tammy, I don't know if I said it at the beginning, you know, for our listeners, but I knew personally, he was even assigned to me, if I can say it that way, temporarily. He graduated and there was a delay before he went to undergraduate pilot training. And so D, you know, worked alongside me. And I said to you in our brief phone call, you know, a week ago, one of the most gentle human beings I've ever known, I think is the way I would describe him. He was a very deep intellectual. Double E major, if I remember correctly. He was an engineering
software engineer, and
crazy smart, didn't ever speak out of turn, right? He would take things in process. This is the D I remember. You knew him obviously far better than I, blown away by how long you knew each other when you take us back to England and talk about being in school together. But I just, you know, thanks for sharing a little bit of that part of your life, you know, with us. There's so much I'm listening to now, the depth of the work that you've allowed to endure, go through, how you're now using that to serve and help others. I know that one of the things I think on one of your social media pages is you talk about keeping D's legacy right out there. So I love that, Tammy. And I don't know why, it's just weighed on my spirit. I'm gonna share it. I don't remember who called me. It was shortly after the news came from about D. Someone called me about 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. A former Auburn cadet who knew that I knew him and thought highly of him, and I just remember being woken up and receiving that news. And I think that's what we can do, you know, for D and our other servicemen and women who are out there, that we sometimes don't take into account who's out there 24/7 in places all around the world. So Tammy, can you share, you got the news, and you've got two kids, and you don't really get a chance to just sit, right? You've got to keep moving forward. Can you just share with our listeners, I mean, what are things that really helped you in the moment, and maybe even share a little bit of your journey through the grief cycle, or what has allowed you to stand tall and find this new place in life?
I will say that the first thing is relationships, is, you know, the people in your life, and they always say that death changes your address book, and it's so true. And it's not for no fault, other than some people can handle it and some people just can't. But giving the space, and don't hide from your emotions. It's okay. It's okay to put them aside for a short time to deal with whatever is at hand. But the emotions are going to come out one way or another. And so if you have those relationships and those people who will sit with you when you have those emotions, so you don't have to do them by yourself, it helps. Knowing who you are, knowing whose you are, and knowing that life is so much bigger than moment by moment. Understanding that there's a greater picture, a greater calling, and realizing that it's okay to cry. It's okay to break down, the key is you have to get back up. Because for me, it was, I had two and a 4 year old who absolutely adored their dad. And we did go through some really hard times because they were used to him being away, but there was always a electronic. There was always a FaceTime or Skype at the time. And I remember at the time, it was probably a few months in, and my daughter, who's two, pulled me over to the computer and said, "Call Daddy now." And just looking at it, it's like, okay. And at that time, so what I did is I called a friend and I was like, "Hey, she needs to talk to somebody, you know, she needs somebody to come and just sit with her." And other thing with her is she stopped sleeping. That was one way. And a 2 year old who doesn't sleep is that there was a few friends who had already poured into her for the last 2 years. And so they would take turns at night holding her upright so I could sleep. And so truthfully, it's relationships. If you want to know how to get through anything in life, it is relationships. And if you don't have someone, then find someone and be there for them too, because you may not need them right now, but maybe they need you. And giving people the space to have all of the up and down feelings and say all of the crazy things that come out of their mouth. Because when you're emotional, when you are going through such a deep circumstance, a deep trial, there's things that you would say that you would never say otherwise, but your brain is trying to sort things out. And so having those relationships who knows you and knows like, okay, I'm not worried about you, but we're going to laugh about that later when I remind you what you said, you know, and things, that's really, I mean, that's the key. That's the secret sauce, is having those friendships, having those people in your life who are your ride or die and are going to be standing next to you, sitting next to you, laying next to you, no matter what the circumstances.
I think the military has a master level of that, because especially like when we go overseas, I have to side note, I giggled that you were born at Lake and Heath, because I was the nurse manager of the OB unit at Lake and Heath, like years and years later, but that's just so funny. See, we're connected on a whole other level right
there. Right?
But that's what I mean. You learn how to read very quickly. And I didn't realize how good we were at this until we moved here to San Antonio, and our neighbors across the street, he was a state trooper and she was a nurse also. And our kids were similar ages. And so our sons played together quite a bit. And at the time they were little, they were like 2.5 and 3. And I remember like we knew each other a little, and Michael wanted to come over and play. And I said, "Oh yeah, just bring him on over. No big deal." And she was a little hesitant, you know, and I didn't say much. And I just let her have her time. But I told her one day, once we got to know each other, I said, you have to understand, I hope I'm not being forward, I said, but in the military, we read people quickly. And if we have that trust there, like you're our family, that's kind of the end of that, right? Scroll ahead, her husband moves up in rank and is a trooper, and he ends up having to go out to Eagle Pass. And one day she ends up on my doorstep. So he's gone Monday through Friday. She's got to handle kids and everything. And we know how crazy that is and work. And she ends up on my doorstep and she's in tears. And she's like, "Donna, how do you do this?" And I just gave her a hug and I said, "I don't know. We just do. We don't stop and think about it." And so I agree with you 1,000%. Like you said, I'm going to bring you back to something you had said, was how you have to tuck it away and sometimes get through. The part that the military is not great with, and I am just as guilty as they come, is untucking it. Like, absolutely. As a nurse and as a military person, I am master at tuck it away, but then I forget to go back and get that. And so that is key number one, is like you find those people, like you said, your ride and dies, that you can say those stupid things and you can just get it off and you can have a good cry, or in, you know, our world, that dark humor, you know, and say things that would maybe just throw people off and go, do you need a mental health check? And, you know, our friend,
like, I just had my mental health check because I have the dark humor, you know, I'm okay.
Right. Exactly. And yeah. So your good friends are like, "Oh yeah, I got that. Yeah, you're fine." Like that in our world, it's, "Oh, you have, like you said, you have that humor, you're going to make it." So it's just interesting. We are very good at that. We're very good at making those friendships. We're very good at, at cultivating that. And then when it shit hitting the fan, literally, who comes around and is right there, you know? And you just can't, you can't explain it unless you're in the middle of it. You know, it is pretty amazing to watch.
It is. And it's something, because most people would assume that it would be family or even really close friends, but sometimes your family, as much as you love them and as much as they love you, there's things that they can't handle and, or they don't understand. And those men and women who are around you, who know you in and out, who know you day to day, they definitely stepped in until family could figure it out.
Yes. Yes.
Tammy, here's what I've heard kind of in this, you know, unexpected life event happens that just flips everything upside down. You leverage the relationships in your life, which I love hearing that, right? It's the opposite of what we sometimes think. Mm-hmm. Wall ourselves off from the world, and we think we can fix ourselves when you know, we do need others. So I love that you shared that. I also hear this spirit in you. You know, I don't know how much, you know, faith may have played a part. Your gold star spouse, there's a community there as well. Are there other things, Tammy? I know relationships are kind of the thread probably that crosses through all that. Are there other things that someone who may be listening to this, who's going through right now that storm in their life to greater or lesser degrees, sure, that you would say, you know, here's another piece of sage advice I would want the listener to consider?
The other piece of advice would be, like, don't lock down the emotions forever. Like, it is okay to cry. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to do laugh and cry at the same time. And don't stop, like, allow your growth to happen. There's so many women who I've walked with on this grief journey, and I see a grief journey, or again, grief is so many things. It could be loss of a dream, a loss of a relationship, loss of a child, loss of, you know, just the loss of identity. And when you're doing that, when you're going through, you have to look at the bigger picture. You have to realize that the moment right now is not the only moment. And you get to rewrite your story. You get to decide where in your story you're going to be. I decided that the center of the story was not going to be my grief. Like, me, I get to be the center of the story. The grief gets to be a part of it, and it shapes me, but it doesn't get to define me. And when I recognize that, I tell women all the time, it's like, okay, well, what do you want to do about it? How do you want it to become part of your life? I joke with my podcast listeners that instead of wearing my grief as a backpack, it's now in my fanny pack that I carry, because it's there. It's a lens that I wear, and I don't have to have that. That's not the first thing I tell people when they meet me. It's part of the story, but it definitely shaped who I am and the decisions that I make. However, I get to grow from that. And even when my friends, God love friends, and I say how important they are, but sometimes they are the ones who, they want to keep you comfortable and stop you from growing. They want to keep you safe. And sometimes when you're called to do something different, when you're called to move unexpectedly, when you're called to change jobs, when you're called to try something, you know, listen to that prompting and give yourself permission to grow and shift and change and redefine things as you go, because that's what life is really about. It's not about this one thing that you're just going to circle. It's about taking pieces of everything, because I don't know anyone who's been through one trial in their life and are good to go. Like, it is a constant. And even losing my husband has not been the only challenging thing in the last 11 years. And overall, I now get to look and see, okay, this that I'm going through, what do I want? What do I want to learn from it? And what do I want to take with me? And I know. What do I want to say goodbye to?
Yeah, I think that's really, I know Donna's got a question for you. I just had one, you know, comment on that. I love to remind people, Tammy, I'm a coach. I work with, you know, people different than the work I think you're doing, which is really beautiful, by the way. The work you're doing with restoring someone's spirit. That's so, so needed in this world we're in today. There's a lot of brokenness. I think we all three can agree with that. But, you know, I love to remind them, you have survived, come through every challenge you've faced up to this point.
Yes.
You know, you're going to make it through this one too.
No, she said something that just went click in my head. You've said that the grief is like a lens that you wear. Hmm. So, I can't see to save my life. I'm blind as a bat. So you're the eye doctor, right? And they put those monocles in front of you. Does it look sharper or clearer?
One or two.
Yes. Yeah. I always feel like I'm going to fail at any moment. I'm like, God, it stresses me out. But that's kind of like, it's such a great, I'm such an analogy person, but that's what my visual is grief is a lens. A traumatic experience is a lens. A great experience is a lens. Any experience becomes a lens. And what you're doing is just flipping these lenses in front of you that gives you a new perspective of what you're seeing, right? Sometimes you put that lens in and what you didn't know is that that lens is like Alice in Wonderland. You're like, damn, I didn't know all that was there. Look at that. It's because you got that experience and now there's that lens, right? And everything you learn is a new lens. And so I know you said that and I was like, oh, that kind of clicks in my head. So
yes. And that's exactly when I say that, that is the exact image that I have in my head too, because you do, you get to pick which ones and like, oh, that one, you know what, try it on. If it doesn't work, then guess what? You get to change it.
Right.
It's okay.
Yes. Scary. This is the two of you. Yeah. The two of me. Hey,
coffee later. Is that what you're saying, Donna?
What'd you say?
The coffee later, is that what you're saying?
Coffee later. By the way, she lives in my home state. You know, she's a transplant there, but she lives in my home state.
You live in Oklahoma?
I do live in Oklahoma.
By choice?
I do.
Don't turn off any of our listeners, Donna.
I was just asking. Okay, let me just say it this way. I am originally from New Hampshire. Lots of trees, lots of hills, lots of mountains. So my favorite part here is Fredericksburg, because like the hill country is the closest I can get to back home.
But she lives in the northeastern part of the state. There's actually hills and trees. See? Oh, so don't be judgmental. Don't be judgmental. The whole state's not flat desert. Just
the parts I've been in, I'm like, you can see one end of the city to the other. So, okay,
hey,
fair enough.
Hey, Tammy, what led you? I mean, I know these life events and these things, but still, you could have those experiences and you could have done anything else. What finally awakened in you to say, you know what I think I want to do? I want to go get a coaching certification or, you know, a couple different skill sets. And I want to begin to connect and help people move from where they're at to who they were meant to be. What was that moment for you?
Yes. So I honestly think that it took me a long time to figure that out, but it was what I was destined to do from day one. One of my favorite parts about being in the Air Force is when I got to be a flight commander. And I had these young airmen come in and I get to mentor, I get to shape, I get to ask them questions to figure out what they want and what's possible. And after my husband died, I went to therapy and I went to a therapist who had grief on her website. And I went and she was terrible. She, like the advice that she gave me, which I was like, and I asked her, I'm like, okay, so have you ever lost anybody? And, you know, and I'm maybe 2 months, 3 months out. So it's still pretty raw, but I'm pretty level-headed. Like, let's have a conversation. And she's like, well, I lost my grandma. And I'm like, everyone's lost their grandma. Like, who have you lost?
And
she's like, well, just, you know, as a therapist, we don't have to go through everything to understand. I was like, but you do need to, Right. I know they can't see your face, but let me tell you, her face is shock. And I'm like, yes. And so I went and I talked to my friend and I was like, I think I'm supposed to be a therapist because I know I can do way better than she did. And so I went and got my master's in marriage family therapy. And I loved it. I did it for many years. I was a middle school therapist. I worked with middle schoolers and high schoolers and their families. And I worked with some addictions. And then I felt like there was just a slight disconnect because again, I don't like to dwell on the past. If you haven't noticed anything about me, it is like, I will take, and I do process. I do, you know, I don't avoid, things that are in the past. Like, let's talk about it. Let's do all the feelings. But let's not stay there. Like, I was, and I got so frustrated. I would get my clients to a point of health, and then the insurance would be like, okay, let them loose. Or we get to the point where they're making progress, and it was the treatment plan was over, and my supervisor would be like, no, ethically, you have to let them go. I'm like, but this is where the real work starts. This is where it is. And so I had a really good friend who was also a therapist, and she turned coach, and she's like, Tammy, you know what you're talking about? And I'm like, no, I don't. She goes, you're talking about life coaching.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not a real thing. that's for people who can't make it as a therapist. And she goes, no. And so I started, and God placed it on my heart that no, this is, and this, oh my goodness. Once I did it, I released my license, released all of the therapy.
Wow.
And I dove head in, and I like to understand the why behind things.
Yeah.
And I also like to have a plan. I don't know if you're aware of the Enneagram, but I'm an Enneagram one. I like to do things the right way, which is also why I'm like, what do you mean you can just say you're a life coach and no one has to check off and sign off and, you know, approve? But I was like, I'm going to get a certification because I'm going to do it the right way. Mm-hmm. And so I went and became a Enneagram coach, because if you understand your fears and your core motivations, then you're no longer defined or controlled by them. Now you get to see and you get to choose a different way. And so I did that. And then I fell in love. I've always loved the idea that the brain, that one thought can actually change the chemical makeup in your brain. Like, on scans, you can see how one thought changes everything. And so when I came across neurocoaching and a scientific way to rewire your brain, and it worked. It works. And so I haven't looked back, and now I get to help women and men too. I do work with some men, and just where you are now and what do you want, and let's get you there. And so that's the journey that I went on, is when I realized that I am so forward focused, and I see possibilities. I have this gift as well of seeing how all these pieces of the puzzle are actually put together, like seeing the strengths that come out and the characteristics. And I'm like, do you know that this is what you've been doing your whole life? Now you get to do it for yourself. And I just have the privilege to help people put that together and then create a life for themselves that they love.
We're related somewhere on a
family tree.
It's my twinsie over here.
Yeah, I don't disagree for the two of you.
I think I'm a five on the, I think I did one of those.
I think I'm a five.
A five? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Like five, and I'm like seven and eight are in there somewhere or something like that. I don't know, but yeah.
See? Tammy, I love this. Yeah, I mean, you two are spirit animals, clearly. I certainly have this same. I'm listening to you, Tammy. I wish our listeners could see you as we can. At some point, we're going to move into the video space. But, you know, we're having a dialogue with you, looking at you, and to see your energy change, to see you light up as you talk about the passion for what you're doing and for helping people discover that for themselves. I love that. I have said on this podcast, times I have a therapist that I see. I also have a coach, and I say both of these things unapologetically. I love that you said hate's a strong word. It's unfortunate that the first therapist that you found was, you know, not suited for you. And I would say to our listeners, that happened to me too. But that that's indicative of all. The same is true in coaching. The same is true in anything. So I love, though, that Tammy, that was the genesis for you discovering or considering this, you know, place that you've now arrived at. I love all of that.
Well, I want to add to that. That's something I tell people all the time. Like, as a nurse, I'll tell people, you know, you have to advocate for yourself, right? And it is okay if it's not a fit, right? So you are intuitive. Absolutely. To know that is not resonating with me. Maybe it works with someone else, but that did not resonate with you. Does it mean they're a horrible therapist?
Not. No,
it doesn't mean that. It just means that how they approach it does not work with how you handle.
Absolutely.
It. Right. So I tell people, like, if it doesn't match, just go find someone else. And if they're super offended, then they're really not in the right field either. but go find someone else. That's totally acceptable. And any good practitioner would say, hey, if we're not matching up,
that's exactly
go right. ahead. It absolutely. You got to find the right one.
Yeah. And that's the key too, is when you go and you see a therapist, you know that first, it's like a first date, like give them 3 or 4 dates before you decide.
True.
Because you do have to build a rapport a little bit. You want to see, but you know, I'm a big advocate of go get the therapy and go get the coaching. Yeah. Like it is, everyone should have a therapist and a coach. And you're right. Like it's, for me, it wasn't the right thing. I went back later. I went for her for several months too. And it was just like, okay, it just didn't fit. She was more interested in my parenting abilities, which, okay, we'll talk about that. Cause I mean, as a grieving mom to grieving kids, that definitely played a part. So I did get value out of it, but it also was the catalyst for me realizing my God-given calling. But no, take the time, advocate for yourself, but recognize it may take 3, 4, 5 therapists until you find the one that you connect with. That's and so, right. So don't give up on yourself simply because the person, I mean, even with friends, you don't click with everybody. And if you do, then you need to ask yourself, am I really being true to myself or am I being a people pleaser?
Because I challenge people to say, if that was your child, right? And they needed certain level of care, would you do anything to go find it? You bet your butt you would, right? Absolutely. You get out there. So why won't you do it for yourself?
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Tammy, if I was to ask you to share for our listeners, you know, we so value anyone like you that take the time to join us in the space. We want to value you. I mean, I love everything about, again, I've said this already, the work that you're doing. What's your avatar? You know, is there a, what's the demographic of those that you love to work with, those that ought to consider reaching out to you, Tammy?
I would say it's the women that I work with are typically mid to late 30s and above, and they're in a spot where all of a sudden they've realized they've been managing their life. Mm-hmm. They have their kids that are getting to the point where they don't need them the same way. That they're always going to need their mom, but they don't need them in the same amount of time in the same way. And then you have this feeling of, you know, you've lost your identity in motherhood, in relationships, and you're ready to cultivate that. You're ready to say, you know, who am I now and what's next?
Right.
And I love helping women look at what's next. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a business, or it could just be all of a sudden you have hobbies again and you find a women's group or you find a traveling group, or it's something all of a sudden you get to decide that you get to be a priority. And because so many times we lose that, and gratefully so, like it is, I love being a mom. I love being their taxi driver and watching them grow. But it gets to a point where it's like, okay, they don't need me as much anymore. So what do I do with my time? You can either go in and like hover and try to push through and make them spend time with you and lose their relationship.
Right.
Or you can give them that freedom and you can gain some freedom yourself. And so that's women who I help them discover their strengths, uncover the truest version of themselves and their what they like to do, and then create a life that they love, show up where they are.
And when you're empowering them, you're helping them let go. Cause you and I are probably going through similar things. Like our kids are getting older, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like they come home and I'm not running around like an idiot. I've got all this time. Right. Mm-hmm. So I just decide, well, I'll just go start a business. Right. Why not? Right. I to fill that time. But it's interesting you say this, because short story before we wrap this up is that my daughter decides I'm going to go to summer camp, her and her 3 friends. They seriously wrote a PowerPoint presentation with all the pros, the cons, and the cost. They're 11, right? I was like, oh my God, I couldn't even walk and chew gum at 11, right? Mm-hmm. And so anyway, we get it sorted out. The girls are going, the parents get together. Yep, we're going to do it. One of the parents sends me an email and says, hey, Donna, you know, I talked to them about volunteer opportunities and it's like free room and board up there if you want to go up there. And so, of course, I had to come down because in our family, we're very witty. We like to tease each other, right? So I come bopping downstairs and I said, hey, Bianca, I said, so, you know, Miss So-and-so said, you know, that there's volunteer opportunities if we want to go up there. And her eyes get this big and she looks at me, she goes, don't you dare, Mom.
Don't be intervening in her business.
And she's like, Mom. And I'm like, I'm not going. Yeah. And so I answered her back. I said, you know, I said, Bianca really wants this time to spread her wings and I'm going to give her that space. Right. And it's giving me that space to kind of figure me out and figure out what I'm doing and, you know, working on my business and, you know, whatever it is. So,
well, and one of the things too, is so many times, like my daughter, I was driving, I was like, can you not wait? I mean, she, at the time, she's probably like 11. And I was like, can you not wait to start driving? She goes, no, I don't want to drive. Yeah. I get to sit back. She's like, you have to stare at the road the whole drive. I get to play and read.
Yeah.
And so, that's a smart girl.
Right. Well, and then all of a sudden it just dawned on me. If I don't show that, if I don't grow myself and have fun, of course they're not looking forward to becoming an adult. Of course they're going to think it's driving for 12 hours all the way to Colorado to drop them off to have the camp of their lifetime. You know, it's so having a life myself and having identity outside of them is one of the greatest gifts that I can give them.
Yes. You give them something to look forward to. Like, you know, I mean, my son right now doesn't want to become an adult because he'll have to buy his own food.
Yeah.
And I moan about spending thousands of dollars on food right now. So he's like, oh, I don't want to do that. So I got to change that around.
Well, Tammy, look, I think we're starting to get to this place to, you know, land this. I love the work you're doing. I'm going to champion you and advocate for you. I hope our listeners that are out there are taking this in. Again, we're talking to Tammy Marie Imlay. The only reason I use her middle name is because her business is Tammy Marie Consulting. It's Tammy, T-A-M-I, so that you can go out there and find her. You know, her information is going to be included.
Oh, yes.
In the summary for this. So just go look at the write-up for this podcast. Tammy, what else might you want to just share, you know, briefly with anyone who's listening to this as you think about, you know, someone again who may be facing challenges and strife in their life?
It is never too late to rewrite the story. It's never too late to gain this resiliency that we were, you know, talking about. It's and the grit and to decide right now that it's not going to define you anymore. And so don't ever give up on yourself. Don't ever give up on that small voice that tells you that there's more for you, because there really is. There is. And who knows what becomes possible when you allow yourself to say yes to yourself. And just know that whatever it is that happened to you, sure, it was hard. You're allowed to change the narrative of it, and you're allowed to define you however you want. And it doesn't have to be the center of your story. So that's what I just want to encourage them to know, that you don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to keep those same thoughts. You don't have to keep doing the same thing over and over. You can decide right now, and just one thought can completely change the chemical makeup of your brain and change your life.
Tammy, I love that. I love to remind people we're human beings, not human
doings. Yes, human doings. Right. Absolutely.
I love that. Thank you for, again, taking the time to join us on here. We're not quite done yet, but I love that last little message to people. It's a part of our story. It's not our story. It's a part. What are your thoughts, Donna, on our time with Tammy?
Pink was coming in my head.
Oh, the singer?
The singer, not the color.
Okay.
Yeah. And she, what's the song that she has? I can't think of the name of it right now, but I was starting to listen to it today.
She's got some sassy ones.
She does have some sassy ones, but my daughter and I both love Pink. And she has that one with her daughter in it. And it's basically about her, Pink, being a lot of, you know, she had a rough childhood, and she hears this very smart, very talented little girl that wasn't getting what she needed, right? And so there was a lot of anger, a lot of acting out, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then she found her way, right, through her own path. And now she's raising this daughter. And that's what this song is about, is, you know, basically standing on your own and don't worry about what anybody says and make your own story, right? It is your story to do, you know? And so I just put that out there to people, and it's not always easy. I mean, all have moments. I actually am, my business, part of it is coaching right now. And I'm like struggling with certain parts of it. I'm like, okay, where am I in this? And, you know, last week I just had a small little meltdown, and my husband just looks at me and he's like, are you okay? I'm like, I will be, just let me have this moment. And he's like, okay. And then the next day I got up and I was like, okay, let's do this again, you know? So I just tell people, like, you know, we all come out here talking positive and you can do it and tell your story. It's not like, it's not going to come without struggle. What, sassy?
It's not all rainbows.
No, not sassy at all.
Oh, I thought you were going
to. No, I think to that last point you made, and something we've talked about on this podcast before, is because that's the image everybody puts out on social media is my world's great. Everything's fine. There are some who go the other way, I guess. Definitely. Everything in their life is drama.
Right. It's hard to find that middle. Like most people are either one or the other. And it's really life is found in that middle. And no, there's a lot of tears, a lot of fighting through things that I didn't like. But
humility. It's very hard to come out. You know, when I left my job, I was pretty networked. You know, I mean, I could get anything, anywhere, whenever I needed it. I knew who to call, talk to. I knew where to force the hand. I just knew how to intuitively work through there. It wasn't an easy job, but I had familiarity and understood it, right? And then coming out here onto the civilian side, I mean, it's been 2 years, and Jay's actually known me a year from my retirement up until this point, so like 3-4 years. And he's seen me struggle, and he sees where I've been and where I'm going and all that. And I'm not networked like I was on the inside. I'm getting there. And now my fingers are getting into things again. And I'm going over my head again, like I usually do. But now I feel like more in my comfort zone. Like I'm like, now I'm meeting people and they kind of know who I am, and I can walk in a room and people are like, oh, hey, Donna, you know, whereas before I'd walk in the room and I'm like, oh boy, 70 people I don't know. Yeah, it's hard. That's hard. And I don't want anybody to think when they hear us all talking this super positivity thing that it's easy. And I'm going to say one more thing, because it brings me back. We brought his mentor on, his coach on, and did an interview with Cynthia. And I asked her, because I was so curious, I'm like, what did you see different in Jay? And she was like, his authenticity. He showed his authenticity. And I was like, ooh, that was a really good one, because I only know this one. And he's very authentic. I would put him there as authentic. So I'm dying a curiosity of what he looked like earlier. Not saying that he was inauthentic. It's just his comfort level of showing certain parts of it.
No, that's wasn't fair. There. Go ahead, Tammy.
Well, and the one thing that to remember is, so life is hard. So you get to choose your hard. You can stay in this hard mess of where you are and dwell in it, or you can fight a little bit. And I use a story of a guy, he's sitting on a bench. And he's sitting next to his dog, and his dog's clearly in pain. Like he is just sitting there, and you can tell it's uncomfortable. And a guy, you know, someone walks by and is like, dude, what's wrong with your dog? And he's like, oh, he's sitting on a nail. And it's like, he's sitting on his nail. Like, why doesn't he get up? He's like, because when you are, the pain of standing up is really hard, but he can't see the freedom on the other side of standing up. Like he just feels that as he moves. So he's the uncomfortable of sitting on that nail is blocking him. Yeah. And so sometimes that hard, choose your hard. Do you want to choose the hard to heal and grow? It's going to be challenging, but the freedom that comes from it. All you have to do is stand up off the nail.
It's similar concept to, you know, like trauma patients or anybody's been abusive, they know that world very well. They know it might be a dark, gloomy world, but they know every nook and cranny of it. Yes. And it is very scary for them to step into the light where they don't know that, right? It's a very similar concept, right? But if you can get them to take that risk and do it, and then they find out, dang, that's a lot better.
This I understand, that I don't know what waits for me.
Right. So it's a similar idea, you know? So, yeah.
Well, look, I'll wrap us up with this. Tammy said something earlier, you know, she talked about you can change your story. I think that's what I heard you say, Tammy, and I love that. I have a mentor in my life who grew up with a really bad stuttering problem and, you know, faced all kinds of challenges as a young man where people, you know, made him believe he was less than. And he said later in life, today he's a highly successful individual, a mentor to me, very affluent and influential. Now he said, Jay, when it finally dawned on me that I could throw the cards I had been dealt in and ask for a new deal, it changed everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a little different analogy. And here's the quote that was weighed on my spirit. They don't always come. They don't always come, but this one did in talking with you today, Tammy. You began by just talking about all these things that happen to us. We can either choose to stay in it or we can learn and grow through it. And I thought of a quote I bet that I read or heard the first time in the early 1990s. from, it's attributed to John F. Kennedy. I'm always careful with quotes because you just never know. But the quote was, if it is to be, why not me?
Yes.
You've taken these things that you've experienced, and I'm sure there are so many others. And instead of just letting that crush you, it has actually led to you rising, sharing, and helping others be successful. I'm proud of you. As a friend, I can say this of both you and Andy. I love you both. I think of him often, want the best for you, and just beyond grateful, Tammy, that you took the time to join Donna and I in this space.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. This was a blast, and I'm so excited to have a new bestie out of it too. So
I'm going to Oklahoma.
I'll look forward to hearing the side stories. Listen, everybody, on behalf of Donna Hoffmeyer, my partner in crime, on behalf of our parent network, Coming Home Well, thanks for tuning in and listening to this episode of Beyond the Front Lines. As always, we ask that you like, follow, share, leave us a comment. We really do enjoy hearing from you, interacting with you, and we're going to continue to step into this space with really amazing people just like Tammy, and we want to serve you. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Front Line, a podcast of Coming Home Well. Join us every other Wednesday. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Follow us on Instagram at @ComingHomeWell_BTS or on Twitter at @ComingHomeWell. Thanks again. And until all are home and all are well.